7. I want to talk to us about handling persecutions and criticisms in ministry. Some of us are very, very inexperienced. And some of the things I'm going to teach here, some of you, my associates and friends, will know that I must have said it one way or the other to you, one-on-one. Handling criticisms, I'm talking about negative ones, and persecution, at times bad publicity. The first thing you have to understand that the ministry is not a ministry for fame. That is where you want to get a good fame. You want to get good fame. At the same time, you must look for bad publicity for yourself. Already you will get bad publicity. So going all the way out to get it is immature. Don't go all the way out. And I'm saying this from experience because as a younger person, I have made the mistake of looking for trouble. I mean, years ago, looking for trouble, where there was no trouble. You understand? Because you felt that, that's the way to be a what person. And that's awful. Don't look for trouble. But the truth of the matter is this. Either you look for it, or you don't look for it, or you like it, or you don't like it. If you are anointed, you are trouble-bound. Isaiah 10:27 says, "The burden shall be lifted from thy shoulder, and the yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." Now, obviously, we have a ministry that is undoing the works of Satan. And 1 John 3:8 says, "For this purpose was the Son of God made manifest, that he will destroy the works of the devil." If you observe, at the anointing of Jesus, the first person that came at him was Satan. He came at him. And the Bible says about that, if you look at, I think it's Luke account, it says Satan, after the third time, left him for a more convenient opportunity. So, Jesus was not tempted three times. He said he left him for a season. Let me show you that. Luke chapter 4, verse 30. "And when the devil had ended all the temptation," Luke chapter 4, verse 13, "he departed from him for how long?" Are you there? "For how long?" "For a season." For a season. Let me show you that from the Amplified Version. For a season. You know, because we are human, sometimes we would love just... there's nobody here that does not like tea party. Just have a nice time and nobody is disturbing your life. I remember somebody told me, said, "I can't marry a pastor." I said, "Why?" I said, "I don't want anybody to disturb my life. I want to enjoy my husband." I said, "But you want to have a pastor?" I said, "Yes, why not? Help me. Somebody you want to disturb." Okay, 13. "And the devil had ended the complete cycle of temptation. He temporarily left him, stood off from him until another more opportune and favorable time." That's what Jesus said in John 13, that the prince of this world came to me again and he found nothing in me. In fact, Matthew 16, we see a case where he actually mentions Satan, and I think that needs some clarification. When he referred to Peter's saying, rebuking of Jesus, that be far from you, Master, and so on and so forth. So the devil came again. So the devil can keep coming and keep coming. Because you see, what we are out to do is too tense, it's too intense, it's too sensitive. You wouldn't expect the devil to keep quiet. Jesus spoke with Master and power, Colossians 2:15, but the world does not know what Jesus has done. Now, you are saying it, and you are stripping him of the authority he has over lives. The word Satan is from a word, diabolos. Diabolos means one who uses deceitful means, diabolic means, manipulative means to have a hold on people. Now, if that's the kind of person we deal with in ministry, we don't deal with flesh and blood. Ephesians chapter 6 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So, you don't expect a tea party ministry. Things cannot be so smooth and easy, and then everything is nice, and you're enjoying it. You know, someone was talking to a preacher one day. He said, ah, I like your ministry. He said, you just grew overnight. He said, did you say overnight? He said, that's the longest night I've ever seen. He said, if 25 years is overnight, I like that. That kind of night, I don't like it. You know, Satan will move against the anointing. He will move against the anointed one. He will move against the fact that the Holy Spirit is on your life. Particularly, I'm going to get to this point, where the word is taught, you are enemy prone. You are enemy prone. And so Satan came again. And let me be honest with you, and you must understand this. So when we talk about Satan now, I mean, your mind begins to go to demons, and maybe at night somebody will appear to you and say, I'm coming for you. No. No. There will be opposition to the message, to the ministry. There will be opposition. I love what Pastor Sandra said years back. Lady liked to fellowship together. She said, you know what? And she was preaching, and I love this part of it, you know. She was preaching me happy that day because I was in the congregation. She said, when I was a weak Christian, and I'm trying to do how she did it. You know, I was a weak Christian. I was going nowhere. When I was partying from place to place, I was a Christian. I was irresponsible. He said, no one said anything. He said, but now I began to speak in tongues. I began to pray more. I began to lay hands on the sick. He said, all hell is let loose. The hell doesn't want to hear that. And that's what she said. And I saw it. I said, that's true. When you were serious, nobody spoke about you. Nobody even cared about you. Now you have the anointing. Now you want to deliver people. Now you want to heal the sick. Now somebody that has been oppressed since he was born, you want to stop that oppression. Somebody that the devil wants to perish and go into eternal destruction, you want to change the course he's living, he's traveling with. Somebody the devil loves to use. And so on and so forth. Did you see Acts 16? Is it 16? Yeah. When they met that girl, that possessed lady. See what happened. You know, there was a place Jesus healed a madman and they chased him out of the place. Say, this kind of person. Now, those that were doing it, do you think they were in their right frame of minds? No. I mean, a mad person. You cast out the devil. They say, no, don't come to our town again. Now, do you think that was normal? No. Look at Herod. Herod heard that a boy had been born. He was just born. Okay, it was 2 years. He just said he's a king. I am now shaking. The Bible says he was troubled. He now began to kill all the children. That was not normal. There was a spirit of the power of the air walking through him. Interestingly. Acts 28. Paul got to a town. And then a viper fasting on his hands. Then he shook it off. People thought he was going to die. You know? And immediately he threw it away. And he didn't die. The Bible says, don't move there, this guy. Yo. He said, should that attract criticism and opposition naturally? No. But you see, you should expect it. Because it's the power of God undoing the works of darkness. So, get ready for it. You should be ready for it. Ready. I didn't get myself years ago. I entered into a shrine. I preached. I entered into where we should go. I went there. I preached there. I preached in the mosque before. You know? So, I thought it was just that way. Don't move power. Until, Kilelei. Some things you will see, you will wonder, why did I even answer the call? Why didn't I just slip off my somewhere and say, don't speak, but your servant is dozing. You understand? You get it? And I was young. You understand? And some, I'll get to that point. Some people that moved against me, they were old enough to be my father. What? Is that natural? No. It's not natural. They were old enough. Imagine, the boy that just left secondary school, they now are doing Christian Association meeting over him. That boy, any meeting he does, you know, you wonder, from where to where? Couldn't you have just called me? No. It's a threat. It's a threat. That's not natural. You understand? And let me be honest with you. If you like, fast and pray. In fact, the more prayer you fast and pray about, the more it will increase. Because that prayer and fasting is the problem. So don't bother fasting and praying about it. Just, I'll tell you what to do about it now. It's the problem. Do you know that? You know what then Peter, they were, when they, in Acts 4, they said, when they threatened them, they said, Lord, now apparently they prayed in the spirit. They are prayed in the understanding, they will appeal with fear. They said, Lord, that made the heavens and the earth. From the beginning, you know that really their spirit were not developed enough. They were just, oh God, pray what you want to pray. They now said, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant us reverent boldness that with signs and wonders we do through the name of the Lord Child Jesus. If you are taught that, that settled the persecution, they were joking. They were joking. The next thing that happened was that church was just disturbed. Disturbed. Ha-ha. Some people were just grumbling all over the place. They were now distracting the apostles. Time that Peter used to study the Bible, he's settling, somebody is saying no, he's murmuring. You know, he's not ordinary eye. Peter said, we will not leave the word of God and serve tables. They now prayed and fasted and ordained some guys. He thought that was the end. The more prayer they prayed, the more people were doing ministry. Then they killed Stephen. Then when they saw that it was easy to kill Stephen, they said, let's go after all of them. Again, they went after all of them. So they scattered all the folks. By Acts 8, more ministry was being done. By Acts 9, you were taught that the Holy Ghost, the power of God, arrested Saul. That's the end. There's no problem. That it is the main guy. He's now born again. By Acts 11, there was another issue. They were now fighting over whether, you see, all those things, there was now some distraction coming again. They were now fighting over carnal things. So it's Gentiles, this one, okay, they settled it. By Acts 12, they now killed James, the brother of the Lord. I mean, James, not the brother of the Lord. They killed him. Terrible. There was now fear. You thought that the more prayer they prayed, the more power of God, it will stop. No. There was no fear. After a while, meanwhile, God had raised Paul. He said, you will take my name to the four kings. They limited their own gospel to just a set of people. Take it to all the world. So that was why in Acts 13, Paul walked up to the proconsul. You know, preached the gospel and the man believed. He was preaching the gospel everywhere, preached to honorable men, rulers, scriptures. You know, the gospel now went, so the opposition was now polarized. Rather than use the authority in the states to now come against the church, it was a bit difficult. Because some of the people in the cabinet were already born again. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Good. So in Acts, now I asked Peter. So you think that the more prayer, it will stop, it will increase. We are dealing with the forces of darkness. Now let me say, we'll get to this one now. And Satan will use anything. Your siblings, your wife, your anything. Your associate in ministry, your friends, your colleagues, anything. Just to get you distracted. Your life is not in hand, obviously. Now, persecution will arise naturally because of the word and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's either for one or both. I'll tell you how it will come. Matthew 13. Are you listening to this at all? Matthew 13. Anytime God tells me something to do, truth of the matter is that I've learned, initially when I was younger, and I'll hear that, I'll just say, go away, I'll rejoice and all that. Today I'll rejoice and I'll start thinking, well, let me just put more word, because that's more trouble. You understand? More trouble for me. So I'll just be putting more word, so that I can last long. Because it's more trouble. That's the honest truth. Now, Matthew 13:21. It says, persecution arises because of the word. Tribulation and persecution will arise because of the word. It will not because of you, because of the word. You know those folks, they will join a word ministry. At that period, people will say things about them. Observe it. They will join word ministries. People say things about them. Even if they lead those ministries and they backslide, they won't say anything about you again. At all. So it arises for the word's sake. I know somebody like that. I mean, in those days, you go to some places in UI, they were talking about it. But as he backslid, of course, they would talk about it like he backslid. After a while, they were no longer talking about him at all. Because it was no longer an issue. I pray that would not be your case. In Jesus' name, amen. You are no longer an issue. You are nothing anybody is talking about. Negative, positive. Yes. He's a good guy. He's married. He has children and grandchildren and stepchildren. Now, opposition will come for the word. Opposition will come for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's just normal. It's just normal. It will never go easy. The first level of opposition you are going to get is that, now listen to the precedence I'm going to say, is going to come in this order. When you see the first one, expect the second one to come. The first one will be this. People will go and stir up doubt and unbelief towards what you are saying. They will stir up doubt and unbelief. Look at Mark 6. Jesus had been preaching everywhere. His fame spread abroad. I mean, if you open CNN, you see him. If you open TBN, you see him. It's just, Jesus. So some folks just took it upon themselves. They knew he was coming home. They now went around. Did you? They won't say that. They won't put it on the flyer first. Did you hear about this new guy? You know him now? We are at the same primary school. Just giving everybody. They will not begin to paint. They will go ahead of you. You know, the Bible talks about John the Baptist going ahead of Jesus. They will also force, they will be your forerunner. So that even those who don't know you, they will know you better than yourself. I've heard some people say things about myself that I learned from their lips. I'm telling you, you mean it is true? Who are you talking about? I had a friend. Somebody was telling him, do you know so and so person? So and so person. Saying, hey, in so and so school, so and so person. The guy did this, he did it, he did it, he did this. When it was true, the guy said, I'm the person you are talking about. Say, hey, sorry. I'm telling you. So they will stir up doubt. A number of people will not even know what you are saying. Do you get it? They will not even know what you are saying. And preachers have responsibility over their congregation. They will now manipulate them. This one, that one, that one. I'm talking about from church now. Why are we saying church? Why would church people do it now? They are in the flesh. When you are in the flesh, you will act like a mere man. That means you will do what an unbeliever will do in this matter. Do you understand? When you are in the flesh, you will do what an unbeliever will do in this matter. 1 Corinthians 3 and 4. You will do what an unbeliever will do. And an unbeliever is the power of darkness works in him. So you will do what he will do because you are in the flesh. Bible says walk in the spirit, Galatians 5:16, that you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Doubt and unbelief. It will come like this. Look at Acts 19. Paul's case too. Acts 19. See what they did for him. Okay, Acts 19. Now, as he was preaching, verse 8, when divers were hardened and believed not, but spoke, verse 9, evil of that way, before the multitude. Can you see that? There was a multitude. Right? There were now those who chose not to believe. Now, those that chose not to believe now went to the multitude. They must have had a degree of influence over them. It didn't happen in one day. Every Bible sermon, every Bible service, every service, you talk about it. You share about it. You will tell. So it will go like that. They now hardened them by giving them information. Ah, no. Blah, 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 blah. They did this. In fact, there was one case I'm trying to see where they actually. Okay, I'll get it now. Now, see. Acts 13, verse 44. Verse 43. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Look at 44. The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word. Now, all of them, people are coming for these people's meetings. They are coming. Look at what they did. Now, when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with what? With what? And spoke evil, against those things which Paul was contradicting and blaspheming it. They will now take up a fight. They will take their sermons and begin to talk about it. Normal thing. It's a normal thing. They will now create doubt. What now happened? They were contradicting what he was saying. They were, painting another picture. They will say, he said so, so, and so. He said so, so, and so. Now, those ones did not hear him. But they will now tell you what the person is saying. Why not allow me to hear him first? Why do you have to tell me what somebody is saying? Let me have the opportunity of hearing him or hearing her. Then I'll make up my mind. But when you know there's a way you can tell me what somebody is saying, and you already are poisoning my mind. I'll give you an instance. A man like E.W. Kenyon, there was one nuisance who wrote a book about him. What he did was that he took a statement, I'm going to get to that one, out of context. We'll take this one, join this one, and all that. For years, people began to have different opinions until somebody came up who took his life history, went to original materials, and wrote Kenyon this true story. Do you know the funny part? The first guy did not have enough humility to say, I'm sorry. Apparently, he knew what he was doing. So, they will stir up unbelief in the hearts of people. So we will begin to doubt even before hearing the person. Oftentimes also, that unbelief will be in the form of deriding you. They will laugh. They will make it look funny. Nehemiah, Toby and Sambala, the first thing they did was that they were deriding, can you do this? You want to have a healing meeting? Are you the apostles? The age of miracles are gone. They will now laugh over. And laugh. You go on the pulpit. I remember when they said atmosphere for miracles should not be on air. I didn't care. I went to a particular denomination in Nigeria. They are the provincial, whatever. And I said on the pulpit, I said people should go and examine themselves. That there's something with their heads. That any Christian that supports that, they should examine him. I didn't care whether they won't give me a pulpit again. That's your business. I will side with the miraculous. I won't side with nonsense. I said it's rubbish. Absolute nonsense. And all that. I said, let me warn you. Let me tell you. It's not about a man now. It's about the fact that the world, the devil is moving against the power of God. Now look at us today. We're now doing medical outreach. It's going to get worse. Until we put out the word of God. You see? They will now create doubt. And unbelief. So people begin to hear with a biased opinion. Something you are going to preach, they've already heard it in another version. That's a false opposition. Now, oftentimes, that one will wane after time. It will wane. We know why it will wane. I'll get to that. Is when the preacher of the word keeps at it. It will now wane. Let me tell you this. The Lord is your strength. Did you hear me? The Lord is your strength. See, you have enough strength to outlast any opposition. If you will keep at it, you will outlast it. You will outlast it. Number two, the next level will be this. Evil report. Now, the first one will not work. The first one is doctrinal. right? It didn't work. The second will now be evil report. They will now try to discredit the person. They will discredit you. They will say things you didn't say. Or say what you said in another context. Make it look like something else. Normally, they will misquote you. They did it to Jesus. See, when they got to Pilate, they said, look, he said he would destroy the temple. When they got to Pilate, he said he would destroy the temple. That's what he said. He said we should not follow Moses. That's what he said. They were misquote. They were taking his statements out of context. Evil reports. In Matthew 12, see what they said in Matthew 12. Somebody, the Bible says in verse 12, they brought unto him the possessed with the devil, blind, dumb, and he healed them. Insomuch that the blind and dumb both spoke and they saw. And all the people were amazed and said, this is not the son of David. Look at 24. When the Pharisees heard it, they said what? Matthew 24, what did they say? Say it loud now. How did they know? When they fellowship with Beelzebub, how will you know? They said he was casting out devils by demons. Does that make sense? They will misquote what you are saying. Purposely lift it out of context. Look at what Paul said, Romans 2. You know today when we teach righteousness, who say that? We are teaching that people should live anyhow. They will live anyhow. It means you are deaf. It means you are deaf. Now, what we say that when a man is saved, his salvation is in Christ Jesus. Now, what we are saying is that if you do anything, you are the one that is saying that one. You are the one that is saying it. Nobody said you are the one that is saying that one. That's your own version. Romans 3. Let me start from verse 4. God forbid, yea, let God be true and every man a liar. The truth in thou mayest be justified in thy sayings and might overcome when thou art judged. But if our righteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God a righteous who takes vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then, how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto this glory, why yet am I judged as a sinner? 7. For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? Look at 8. And not rather, as we be what? Slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, can you see it? Let us do good, do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. So it's been a while they've been saying it. Now don't worry, be sinning, God will bless you. That is not the message. They have been saying this for a long time. Paul said we have been slanderously reported. Are you saying that? Is it still around today? So it's the same thing. So don't see it as a big deal. They will misquote you. Look at Acts 15. Even among ministers, then they lie. Because they don't know it is the flesh. Acts 15. Some men came and they said to Judea, from Judea, and taught the brethren and said, look, verse 1, except if you sacrifice the man of Moses, you cannot be saved. And Paul did not hold it lightly. He held it lightly. And they went among the ministers. Now, look at verse 5. And there arose certain of the sect of Pharisees which believed. That means they are believers. So we can have believing Pharisees. Can you see? They are believers, though. But they have a Pharisee thinking, saying that it is needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So, they actually brought up these issues. You know? And they raised it. That look, that Paul was actually telling people not to obey Moses. You know, they would go and say anything. He said, we have been slanderously reported. Even ministers. It can be like that. Look at that. You know, they were ministers. Elders of the church. Yet, they were Pharisees. So evil report will be the next thing. 2 Corinthians. I read that to you yesterday. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He said, we approve ourselves, verse 8, by honor and by dishonor. by evil reports and good reports, as deceivers yet true. Do you know the painful thing, really, for a minister is when your own people now want to find out whether it's true. It's not. There's no commendation that the guy now came back and said, go find out now, we're running. Kill on what? I mean, you should know what we are doing. It is the most painful of all of those things. Very, very painful. What were you looking for? What did you want to achieve? Evil report, dishonor. You should know it. You should see it. You shouldn't have a problem with it. Somebody went to the press. He said, you have to know that it's part of the work and be ready for it. Dishonor is part of what you will get from being a preacher. Evil report is your inheritance. Evil report is your inheritance. You better thank God for it. I told you, if you pray about it, I don't know what will happen to you. If you are praying about it, you will see what will happen to you. You will see the late Dravugra, you see. You pray, Oh Lord. You just pray in the spirit. And what you will be praying out in the spirit is more and more. More ministry, more power, more God's glory. And then there will be more devils, more demons. Look at this. He's saying, hallelujah. I mean, really don't give. I don't bat an eyelid on things like that again. I don't at all. I don't. I don't think about it. I don't look at it. I don't. I'm upward bound with the world. Too much. Too much. Too loaded. Too loaded. Too much. Dishonor. No worry. The Bible says, if a man's ways please the Lord, he will make his enemies to be his well-wishers. Let me just keep pleasing God. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I condemn. Simple. And move on. Dishonor and honor. You will get even from your own people. From your own people. Those with whom we went in and out, like Peter said, for those baptism, we went in and out. Does it make any difference? Does it make any difference? When somebody is dishonest, as an unbeliever, if he does not renew his mind, he will be a dishonest Christian. When somebody likes gist as an unbeliever, if he's born again, he doesn't renew his mind, he will be a gist Christian. Is a normal thing. Simple. That's number two. Have you been a pastor on campus? As some people will tell you your result before you see it. I had a pastor. A lady came to his church. So one day, invited him over. And he was doing counseling. And then she served him food. After eating, she now said, 2 hours, 3 hours. She said, that means you really have eternal life. She said, why did you say that? She said, I poisoned the food. I thought you would die. I thought you were always making mouth in church. That's what I wanted to see. We're a spectacle to the world. No, I'm not talking to you. I know the person. She said, do you want to call police for arrest her? You just thank God at least you are alive. Hey, you. Now, oftentimes, you will keep at it. That will not work. Because you will keep at it. You keep at it. There was a ministry. They did a devotional. The Christian movement said, no bookshop will take that devotional. So they took it to the old bookshop. They were rejecting it. The pastor said, bring it. Don't worry. He said, I want you to do bigger things. Now, that devotional is the most read in Africa. If the Pharisees do not allow us to receive the power of God, we will come through the roof. Luke 5. Abi? Any which way shall come inside. Number 3. When that one does not walk, you will now come out of the spirit world. You will now be physical confrontation. You see, heavenly places, I mean, you will now come down from heavenly places. And you get physical attack. You know, Jesus, he was sitting in full report, he was in preaching. He was saying, the last one, they just arrested him. They killed him. He'll be physical. In Paul's case, the next day they arrested him. In Nehemiah's case, first one, you work. Second one, you work. The third one, as you were building like this, Boa, they now mobilize people to tear their flyers, bring down the billboard. It was a shame that the Christian community moved against a preacher. And they were asking, they now hired area boys to go and bring down the billboard. They went on TA. They said, don't show this so-and-so preacher. He's of the devil. He has collected the evil mark. They said, no, he didn't pay us. We are showing it free of charge. Please, leave. Leave. Shame. You now go physical. Physical. If you're a student, you can go and meet your lecturers. Ben. They can go and block you from using the venue. That, you know, they come down. That means they come down. Okay. That one will be, you are still using spiritual, spiritual. That will come into the flesh. Physical things. Physical, physical. You know? They will now start doing evangelism for you. You know, evangelism. They will now go around. Preach, you know. Going from everywhere. The Lord walking and confirming the world. Signs are following. They will go from this. See. See, don't do this, don't do that. You can check. It got so bad for me. The person housing me, it was not my landlord, it was my helper. He gave me a room, he was so happy. He had told me the glory of God was in his house because I was there. He just called me. He said, so and so. He said, please, 24 hours, pack up at my house. I said, no, that you have sprayed about it. I said, Shege. I checked my pocket. My wife, we were still, you know, cutting, whatever you call it. We saw it. We had minus 1,000 naira or something. That means we were owing it. That's what it means. Say, wow. Ah! You know? And you, man of God, who used to come to your house to see you? You say, all right, wait outside. And I had to move into a student hostel. That's physical. Physical rain. In fact, I've seen cases where preachers had Christians send assassins after them. The Paja, real thing, co members, what you help? You ask for forgiveness. Physical. There was one program we had. A church felt that we should do choir practice there, but we paid for the place. They did not like the music, they did not like the preacher, they did not like the Holy Ghost, they did not like God, they did not like anything. They now went to meet the person we hired the equipment from. They got the guy drunk. As we were having, you know, Holy Ghost meeting, the guy just came on the pulpit, drunk, you worship? They told him to come inside. He now disturbed the meeting. I just continued preaching. It's one of those things. Have you seen things like that before? They put off the generator. That means they have come down. This one is not word. This one is physical. Stop it. Well, you know what? Keep it on. It's a proof that you are going somewhere. Hallelujah. The stronger the opposition, the more, the deeper your character will be. James 1. Let me share with you mistakes you will make. I've made them before. So, learn from me. Mistakes you will make. Number one. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. Right? Let's make peace. You now want to go and explain yourself. What do you want to go and explain? What would Jesus have explained to the Pharisees? Is it that he was born by a virgin birth? Or is anointed? Or is he not seen? Or that he told them severally that, look, of which of the works are you against me? You understand? Is it the fact that somebody is blind, they can see? said, no, no work. He said, but you said we should not follow Moses.
You know,
they had nothing to say. So you will make a mistake of going for seeing somebody trying to explain. Look, if somebody is lying, if Moses is lying, trying to go and see him and explain issues, you are wasting your time. You will make that mistake. You want to explain yourself. You want to explain yourself. You know what? And somebody say, ah, pastor, what if you say this? What if you... The second thing is that you now want to be answering back. You are stupid. I just laugh over it. You have no explanation to me to anybody. Anybody. Now, there are some people that are honest. They are truthful. You will see from their conduct. So those people, well, in fellowship, you can, you know, be accountable. But somebody is saying, you want to go and you are wasting your time. Number two, you will make a mistake of trying to answer back on the pulpit. You will not be teaching and preaching. Eh? You will not be saying this. You are responding. You are trying to teach against it. You are trying to say, let me tell you, you are only being distracted. That means you fell for it. Don't fall for it. Do as if nothing happened. Let me tell you what happens usually. Hey! They get angry. Do as if nothing happened. Nothing. Act like nothing happened. No, you're a man of faith. What is faith? We walk by faith and not by sight. Act on the word like nothing is happening. You know we win. We win. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hey! Act like nothing happened. You know, don't be stupid. All right. What do they do to you? James 1, 2 to 4. I've been a victim of going for some stupid meetings in the name of sorting things out. They'll just use you, you know, as another symbol of what they are doing. Learn character from it. That's the time you learn how to walk in love. You see all those Matthew 5, 44. You know, you can be saying it and say, pray for those that, you know, they are still talking theory. They are talking theory. That's theory. Yeah. That's theory. When you now see real persecution, I am supposed to pray for the person. I am supposed to love the person and be kind. That's character. You are now learning character. So number one, warning. Don't be offended. Don't be what? Offended. Don't be offended. Don't let it get you emotionally worked up. Don't be offended. Know Jesus. Know what Jesus did throughout? He kept quiet. Don't be offended. The Bible says that woe to him, throne of offenses is come. Don't be offended. Don't be offended. The Bible says, look at the issue of those that persecuted our mission arose for the word's sake. He said, because they had no root in themselves, they were offended. You know how offenses will come? You just destabilizing your emotions. I got so offended, I wanted to take my life 13 years ago, 14 years ago. I wanted to take my life. Kill a Jew. Really? Obey Holy Ghost. Oh, my Jew, devil. Do you understand? What are you saying? One, somebody wrote something, said, we saw him at Lekki Sun Splash. He held jeans like this. He wore shorts. He was singlet and he was carrying babes. Somebody said, I can't imagine you like that. Another person said, he is in a cult. They mentioned the name of the cult. I was learning it too for the first time. We had a meeting somewhere. We're now dancing. Pastor was supposed to be one of us. Maybe as a chief priest. You know, you are in there. And you are your people. You know, your people. It's not Muslim that will say it to. Your people. I said, okay, I now understand. The weapons of our welfare truly are not carnal. So, don't be offended. Let me tell you the truth. I now learn to walk in love. And I'm going to see more. I'm going to show you. You're going to improve my love walk. A number of them, I've had to help them later in life. A number. Some of them, I help them later on. You know, you wonder, why would you? Or I help them on some very, very, very delicate issues. You understand? Because oftentimes, you know, bitterness will want to set in. You just say, Lord, I'm a child of love. I walk in love. I walk in love. I overcome strife. I overcome hatred. I overcome persecution. Because I'm born of God. You understand? Uh-huh. So you are learning it. Either way. You understand? Don't be offended. Number two, say nothing. Say nothing. Jesus said nothing. Is that not true? He said nothing. Say nothing. Just say nothing. Some folks will come around you, they will try and ask you some questions, they are not honest. Say nothing. Just say anything. You know, Bible said that Jesus knew, knowing the hearts of men, did not put himself in their hand. He knew what he was going to say in their presence. So people are just coming to misquote you. There was one fellow. He thought I was stupid. He called me. He was looking for words. He said, tell that American guy. He said, he's too smart. He said, I was trying to get him to say something. He said nothing. I knew him. You understand? You understand? So you want to get words from my mouth? You need to know how to play you. I will play you. I'll tell you, we had a meeting, though. We had a meeting, and there were folks that were healed, though. Say, but sir, what about what? The power of God, the move of the Spirit, the love of God, the grace of God. Go home. Just go. Do you understand? Say nothing. Number three. Are you learning something? Say nothing. Number three. Pray for the person. And speak well of that person. Or those people. Pray for them. Pray for them. Matthew 5:44. Pray for them. Hallelujah. Pray for them. You must know how to handle these things. They will come. How many of you guys want to be used of God all through your life? You want to walk in the power of God? Oh God, welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. Ayaya. Well, no be potato. No be yam. At all. Ayaya. Welcome to the club. You say, power of God, have you? Welcome. One day somebody was wrestling with Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin said, you are a small fry. I've been criticized by experts. Go and learn from them. You are small. Something happened recently to Fred Price. A major satellite TV. They were talking about preachers who were prosperity, who were greedy. They said, look at Fred Price. They now showed him preaching. He now said in the preaching that, you know, what is prosperity? Prosperity means to have a yacht of $8 million. Prosperity means to have a car of $2 million, about $10 million in my account. Yeah, then I'm a successful man. He now said, look and imagine what he said. They took, you know, what he said and all that. He said, wow. So he came to church. He now played the entire thing. You know what he said? He said, some of you will be thinking, what is prosperity? Prosperity is this and this and that. Have a little million here. Say, and you say to yourself, wow, I am prosperous. And he said, that is not prosperity. They removed the first statement and the last one. That's what happens. You better be used to things like that. Be used to it. Somebody said to me, he said, I learned you say fornication is not a sin. I said, it's a sin. Yeah, I said, it's a sin. It's a sin. you know, I did not say anything. You see, the day the crocodile, the tortoise learned to say, oh, he began to live long. Don't say, oh. You say that if a man is born again, he can sing anything, you go to heaven. He won't we. Say, what are you saying? In koto so long. Do you understand? Say nothing and pray for the person. Last and the most important. And this is where most of us get it wrong. Get busy. Keep doing what you are doing. Keep doing
what you are doing. More meetings. Right? More preaching. More teaching. Keep at it. 1 Corinthians 15 and 57. Giving thanks to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Keep at it. Keep at it. See, Satan fears a fearless man. Satan is afraid of a man who is committed to what he's doing. Keep at it. Keep at it. See, the one who spoke against somebody, that hey, the man is of the devil, blah, blah, blah. That one went to pursuing Aso Rock. The man he spoke about is now on television all over the world. He's healing more sick people. He's winning more people. So who was of the devil? You should know now. You should open your eyes and know. Keep at what you're doing. See, we're going to reach the world. But it's not going to be easy. We're going to reach the world. It's not going to be easy. You'll be misquoted. You'll be underquoted. You'll be overquoted. See, I've heard people plant members in our ministry. See, go there. I've heard people drop my words to go and play somewhere. Really. None of these things move. None. See, I know we'll do this thing forever. I know we'll preach the gospel forever. But let me say this. This is my own consecration. If you all take your bags and go, I'll start again. But if you think there's coming a day where I will be every other thing but a preacher, forget it. You hear that? I've signed a life contract. It's forever. I've said to myself, whatever it will take makes no difference. If all of you, because I haven't before, you say, we're not going again. I will start again. Again. Because you see, it's a long journey for me. Have that kind of thinking. Have that kind of orientation. Didn't everybody desire Jesus? Did that stop his purpose? Paul said that the whole Asia deserted me. Only Luke is with me. He said that. Wow. Paul. You must have this bulldog faith about ministry. This never give up. No. Never give up. Never. People got so bad, they went into a meeting and were prophet. I mean, imagine you are in a Christian meeting and they prophesy. Le baba, no go 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 lege 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 lege. Thus said the Lord. In 5 years' time, such and so person will be dead. I was dead. I laughed. Me? I laughed. Everyone said, Leba, Lega, Lega, Lega. I said, listen to me. I said, in 5 years' time, I'll be preaching. Another 5 years' time, I said, every 5 years, I'll call the person and tell him I'm still preaching. Every five years. In case he got it wrong. Maybe he thought it was 25, or 35, or 45. Anyone that has five, I'll still be preaching. I'm too solid for that. Too solid. See, one of you say, don't do it again. You are giving your Small. Start again. And usually when you start again, you are better off. Truth of the matter. So folks that left us years ago, they are regretting they left. Keep at it. Stay with it. Stay with it. See, I was called of God. I did not hear a rumor. It was an original call. It was not a missed call. It was not a cross call. It was a real call. Hallelujah. 1995. Had a vision. And Jesus appeared to me, held my hands, and he said, I'll make you stand. Throughout the nations of the earth, you preach the gospel, I will make you stand. So forget it. I I'm even telling you in case you don't know. I am not disobedient to the heavenly calling. The vision is clear and loud. I'll produce all over the world. So have that bulldog attitude. Am I saying you will not make mistakes? You will make mistakes. Am I saying sometimes your critics will not be right? They will be right sometimes. But you see, it doesn't make any difference. Right? You should have that attitude. Never give up, never give in, never, ever. There was a day, you know, virtually everybody in church had left. Then they give different, you know, I'm busy, I can't be coming again. So I was the only member. I just went on fasting and praying. And I was one day, dry fasting and praying, studying my Bible. I was interested in how God preaching in some places. I was preaching, you know. I just was singing, I said, it is Jesus who want my heart to stay. It is Jesus who gave me life to live. It is Jesus who saved me from this day. It is Jesus all the way. That is why he has the same. Holy Lord, I worship. Precious Lord, I sing my heart in praise. Lord of glory, I worship. I stand to testify, you died and rose for me. No man, no place, no thing can take your time, can take your place with me. You are Lord of glory. You have changed my story. Every nation sure will worship you. You are Lord of glory. Keep at it. Where it is toughest. I know my people when things are tough. When things are bad. That's when I know my people. Not those who try and go and cross-check facts. Who stay back a little bit. Don't bother. You are not going the long haul. It's a long haul. See something. Eh? This is something. You get my point. But you know what? The word walks. That is how to handle opposition in ministry. Keep at it. Truth of the matter is this. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. I cannot be defeated. I cannot quit. I'll keep at it. I'll stay with it. Hallelujah. Worship God, give him thanks.